you know, how to kind of look deeper, and look for the subtleties of eye making and mind making. So one of the things I did at Kashubana was I got out a copy of Roger's Thesaurus and looked up words like clinging and grasping. So I haven't got that with me just now, but from memory, it was very useful. It's useful to do that kind of thing. So there was a whole set of you know, associated words. You get associated words if you do that. So for clinging and grasping was clinging. One of the words was adhering or adherence. So it's just interesting putting those words together, because adhering is about sticking to thing. So it's what sticks to you, or what you stick to. The kind of things that stick to your mind, and you know, it's not like you can just rip it off very easily. It's solidly cemented on in some cases. You know, it's glued on. So that's a way of thinking. What is it that sticks to me? What is it that sticks to my mind? What do I stick to? What's the kind of things I just can't let go of? What is it, the kind of thing that I can't let go of? A particular way of working, you know, so you see someone else working like that and you go, oh, for goodness sake, would you look at that? perhaps don't say that out loud, but you can have the inner dialogue going, I'm afraid I'd do that. I sort of go, for goodness sake, how could they possibly have done that? Did they not? So that sort of thing. Just notice what it is that sticks to you and what you can't let go of. That's, I think, the beginnings of knowing what's... of noticing for yourself the particular ways in which we do eye-making and mind-making. So one of the associated words was adherence. And there are a few, I can't remember them all now, but one that struck me was to do with grasping, was hungering. But hunger and thirst. But hungering was in there. And that sort of struck a chord with me, the kind of things you hunger after. The thing in itself might be okay. It's not that the thing itself might be just fine, actually. They're not necessarily that what we hunger after. It's not the things in themselves are necessarily unethical or anything. It's the hungering. It's the way we engage with it that does it. It's I want it. I really need this. And then all the associated kind of action and effort and everything, and or even manipulation to get it, maybe at the expense of other people. So. So that might be a thing to do. Just, you know, looking up dictionaries are great, but Bunch is always—he's one of the things he always tells you to do: look up a dictionary. Just get the association, the associated words, because sometimes they just open doors on understanding. So I was talking about this up at Kashubana, and sort of thinking. Well, what we do is we rely on eye making. What we should be doing, if we're trying to practice Buddhism, is to rely on conditionality. So at one point I led a practice through, I got into a whole thing about relying on conditionality. So I kept saying it in this practice. And it was just a phrase, rely on conditionality. So I guess, you know, before that will work for you, you do need to know what conditionality is and do a bit of study on it, probably. I'm sure some people, and a lot of people here have done that, that the basic this being... that becomes teaching. Rely on that. When you have to reflect on something and bring to mind, you're trying to just work out what to do in a situation, bring that to mind. Don't rely on eye making. Don't rely on the agitated searching after the non-existent. Rely on conditionality. The eye making is it adds something into the situation. I, me and mine are not there in that substantial way, but we add them in and then we act from it. And then we grasp and try and get hold of. Well, we grasp, sometimes we even steal in a particular way. We'd be prepared to, take things from people. We get into the grasper and grasping. And, those of you who have heard I've been talking about six elements, but there's another way of reflections you can do, which are trying to do the same thing, to eradicate I, the five skandhas. They're often referred to as the five grasping skandhas. After you're purified, then after you're enlightened, then those skandhas become purified. But before that, they're called grasping skandhas. So that in itself is quite an evocative term. So I guess we could talk about the six grasping elements in a certain way. But there's nothing other than these elements. There's just that. There's no permanent. There's nowhere where there can be a permanent, separate, independent self. So there we were all doing that, and I said, I had a thought maybe at lunchtime. It seemed just nice, like very nice food at the Kashmir. At lunchtime, we'd get our plates. I'll just ring a bell, and when I ring a bell, swap plates with your neighbour. People went, oh, I'm not going to do that. You see, you can be in the midst of, completely, you know, honest and authentic, really trying to do this practice. But the thought of eating somebody else's lunch, that's theirs, that's mine. I don't like that. Look, they've got beetroot on it. I don't like it. I'm not having it. You know, it's just a bit humbling. It's a little bit humbling. You know, we spend 2 hours in the shrine room. We're doing all this. All these reflections. I say swap plates. Swap clothes, you know. And then and my tray picked up and said, she said, maybe we should. There was a people, of course, had arrived and they were in rooms. She said, maybe we should put up a different room allocation. Maybe tomorrow morning we should just say, okay, swap round. Arajai, you're there. And Tejasvini, you're now in there. Leave your stuff where it was. No, that's my space. That's not my, it's her space. I don't like it very much. And I don't want to wear that. And that's not the kind of skin cream that I use. Maybe you don't take skin cream on men's retreats, but we do. We take lots of stuff like that. You know, even like the shampoo. You know, it just... you know, when you're up there for... I don't know what it's like when they're up there for 3 months, but I was only there for 10 days. You know, there's nothing to think about. There's no distractions very much. So you think about things like shampoo. That's the kind of thing that happens, you know, isn't it? It's just quite humbling. Anyway, I don't think we didn't get them to swap beds, but I did think that there's a grasp kind of whole teaching. There's another quite helpful kind of thing in this whole thing. It's just to try and, you know, as I say, trying to find out how is it that I do actually do this eye making and mind making. So the shampoo and the skin cream and, you know, which bed I'm in is humbling. But the real guts of it is very hard to get to. It's very hard even to identify and to notice it happening, far less then stop it.